Wednesday, July 9th. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Hey, watch our video show live noon Eastern. John Heyman's coming on to talk about some of the big stuff around baseball. And go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty if you're a fantasy football fan and you live near Foxborough, Massachusetts. Hello, Scott Now. What's up?
Hey there. Why limit it to people in the Foxborough area?
Well,
if I were closer, I'd make a road trip.
Yeah, make a road trip. Fine. If you think you can be in Foxborough, Massachusetts on the 23rd, go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty. So I thought yesterday was so interesting. I thought it was a very interesting fantasy baseball day, whereas I thought Monday was pretty boring, pretty plain. But a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out. It's not always necessarily how many games are on the schedule or what the matchups are. I agree.
I'd like to hear what you thought was so interesting.
Okay. Tanaka, I find interesting. Verlander is dealing with some serious velocity issues now. My favorite player in the world, Hyunjin Ryu.
Was not a fun Jin Ryu.
No, not a fun Jin Ryu. I got a look there from Scott about the velocity issues.
I didn't catch that.
Well, all right, go to Brooks Baseball, whatever, and you can see the average now lower and lower. And that yesterday was the lowest, the softest I had ever seen Verlander throw. And he gave up 5 runs in the first inning. Now, I didn't see
it. But was very good thereafter. He was.
I mean,
yeah, he only gave up 7 base runners in 6 innings for the whole start.
Okay, yes, but
that's a good whip.
Kind of looked like a Tim Lincecum start in that, like, that one bad inning sunk him. Okay. This is what I wanted to look up.
I didn't catch the velocity. If you're saying it's the lowest, it's, what did you say, lowest all year?
Oh, holy cow.
Yeah, I told you. and then here we go. Here's another alarming stat. Remember, he had one swinging strike against Oakland in his last start, which was 6 innings, 2 runs, 9 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts. He had 3 swinging strikes in this start against the Dodgers. So I'm a little concerned about that velocity and that fastball. I also thought WADA was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Vidal Nuño, to a degree. Maybe he can fool NL lineups for a little bit. And then we've got all these hitters that are just going crazy right now. Nick Swisher's putting some good swings on the ball. Ben Revere has been really good lately. A whole bunch of them. But what did you find interesting, Scott?
You know what I found interesting, Adam?
What's that?
Charlie Blackman homered.
Yeah, I know. Charlie Blackman homered and Corey Dickerson got hurt 2 days before Carlos Gonzalez is set to return. 3 days. Cargo could be back Friday. Dickerson says it's not serious. It's an injury. It's a wrist injury. He says he's okay.
And I got to thinking about when we talked about Blackman yesterday. I mean, weren't you on the verge of saying drop Blackman? Still, his year-to-date numbers, he's still like a top 12 outfielder in head-to-head points leagues. He's ahead of Hunter Pence, and that was before this home run yesterday. So it just seems crazy that that would even come up. I don't care how long the slump has been.
I think I went, well, maybe not on the show, but I certainly on Twitter, I went farther than that and telling people he was stashable and potentially droppable.
Are you talking about a 3 outfielder league or a 5 outfielder?
I'm talking about, well, I referred to his head-to-head points ranking, so I guess I am talking about a 3 outfielder league.
I don't see why you can't drop him in that format.
We're halfway through the season and he's a top 12 outfielder. That should be the end of argument.
No, but it's not.
It should be.
It was a 50-game slump.
Yeah, but even with that slump, he's still a top 12 outfielder. He gets hot again, and this might be the start of it. This is what he said after the game. I just kind of felt like I got into maybe some bad habits. They kept me from being simple and driving. Wait. And direct to the ball. I've simplified things a bit today. So it sounds like he's making adjustments.
No, it sounds like what any hitter would say when he's finally had a good game. Like, I don't want to fall into the trap of believing everything these hitters say about all the adjustments they make. That was the Verlander trap last year.
But how was he so good in the beginning? How has he been a consistent 290, 300 hitter every level of his career? Which he still is right now.
Right, but you're at every level of his career, which, you know, prior to this year, the full seasons were in the minors.
But even partial seasons in the majors, he was that good.
Right, yeah. I mean, I remember not really knowing much about him going into the year.
Yeah,
just
before
to be honest.
This year, I thought they were kind of, you know, they were empty batting averages. They weren't over, you know, long, you know, they weren't over full seasons. And I'm not saying, you know, 5 outfielder league, he's not droppable.
Right.
And you're not crazy to, you know, stash or start him in a three outfielder league, but I don't think he's beyond dropping because I didn't really buy into April, and that's what's got him in the top 20.
Let's forget April for a second. Let's say he's just his year to date numbers rest of season. He's still a top 12 outfielder.
No, but that isn't forgetting April because that's what's got him where he is.
Yeah, but you know how this works. I mean, players aren't always ridiculously good and ridiculously bad. Sometimes it turns out that way, but sometimes they do that same production over an extended period of time. Like, yeah, there's no telling how exactly what route they take to the numbers. I feel like the end numbers are legit, even if it's been bad recently.
Well, then I think...
And I agree he's not as bad as he's been recently.
No, I was not saying that either, but I think in a three-outfielder league, when you look at how deep that position is, I don't think that he's undroppable if he's not going to be consistent. And, you know, they're just... Like, I just picked up Curtis Granderson in our podcast league, a very good three-outfielder league with very active owners, and Granderson's like 90% owned, so... There are occasions – I just picked up Brett Gardner in our other three-outfielder points league. So I don't know that – do you think Blackman is beyond dropping for a hot hand? Like he's a guy that must stay on your team all the time or
yeah,
is he
I
interchangeable?
Do. I do. I think the slump needs to be much longer than it has been.
Than 50 games?
If a bad 50 games only dropped him to 12th in the outfielder rankings or wherever he is, then – That says a lot about what he did before that.
It does say a lot, but it's still 50 games. I mean, and this is the same argument I had with you on the show yesterday about on the video show about Xander Bogaerts, who you said you didn't really understand why people were dropping him. And what was the stat on him? It was 27 games entering yesterday, with about a 100 batting average for Bogaerts, four walks and 30 strikeouts. I think that's what it was, and I did understand why people were dropping him. So I don't know. I mean, to me, 27-game slump isn't no big deal, and a 50-game slump isn't no big deal.
I'm not saying it's no big deal, but I'm saying if you base your entire impression of a player on that, that's short-sighted.
No,
I don't think anybody in this room is doing that.
Right. Well, then... Why are you dropping the 12th ranked outfielder?
Well,
because he's 12th ranked because of an even smaller sample.
I don't know. Did I say I would drop Charlie Blackman? I think you maybe assumed I would.
Well, somebody did.
I said, and again, may not have been on the show, but I have said, at least in response to Twitter questions, that he's not beyond stashing and he may not even be beyond dropping.
Okay.
And that is in reference to a three outfielder league.
All right. Well. That was fun. here's some news for you. We'll do some Grade the Trade later. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Joey Votto's on the DL with a knee injury. Jay Bruce played first base in the second game of the doubleheader. Todd Frazier played first base in the first game. Chicago, the Cubs, are going to promote Arizmendi Alcantara as Darwin Barney's on paternity leave. So Alcantara is going to get a brief addition. Probably will be sent down Friday. Do you guys think we should pick him up?
Yeah, I do.
Over Charlie Blackman?
Over Charlie Blackman. No, not over Charlie
okay.
Blackman.
Okay.
How about over Mookie Betts?
For sure there, yeah.
I'm not even saying for sure there. I think he could be a useful middle infielder, more for steals than anything else. Not that he doesn't have any pop, But he has played discipline issues, and it might just be a short stay. So I feel like it'd have to be a deeper roto league. Maybe not necessarily even deeper, but one where you know all the other shortstops we might consider in that range, Asdrubal Cabrera, Eugenio right. Suarez, they were all already off the board. That would be when I'd consider Alcantara.
Who's a better stash for you? Just a stash, bench player. Colton Wong or Alcantara?
Ugh.
I'd go Wong unless you specifically needed steals.
I'll agree with that.
And here are your Home Run Derby participants. We're still waiting for one more in each league. But right now it's Jose Bautista, Yoenis Cespedes, Brian Dozier, and Adam Jones in the American League. Troy Tulowitzki, Yasiel Puig, Todd Frazier, and Giancarlo Stanton in the National League. Do you guys subscribe to the Home Run Derby is evil and hurts people's swings philosophy?
Nah. No. I'm sure. Who was it?
Cespedes
Bautista
won
that
one?
Cespedes won last year.
I was actually just looking up his second half numbers. I remember kind of studying it and not really coming up with anything conclusive. Because a guy could easily lose power in the second half, and it would have nothing to do with the home run derby. So, I think we did that a couple years ago. I did like sort of a study of recent home run derbies and did not come up with any groundbreaking conclusions.
Yeah.
And I just saw Joe Maddon kind of poo-poo that idea anyway. So he's sort of like my Bible to baseball. And if he said something, I agree with it. After the All-Star break, Yoenis Cespedes slugged .473 last year compared to .420. Before the All-Star break, he had 11 home runs in 56 games, so he was just fine. All right. I asked you guys yesterday to come up with a list of innings limits, potential starting pitchers who could face innings limits. I forgot to remind you, so I can give you a free pass and push it back to tomorrow if you'd like.
Yes, please, because I am unprepared for this assignment.
All right, that's on me.
I do have one, and I'm not going to be on tomorrow, so I'll go ahead and mention it. And I don't know if I brought it up before on the podcast, but Jesse Chavez, he pitched, I think it was 87 and two-thirds innings last year, was exclusively in the bullpen during his time in the majors. Now, he has gotten more innings than that before from years when he was more of a starter, but I don't even think he quite reached 130 as a career high, and he's at 109 now. So I'm not saying he can't get to 150, 160, but 180 might be out of reach, which is, I know it was brought up somewhere that even though Tommy Malone was pitching well, even though they have Drew Pomeranz coming back, they still wanted two arms in that deal because they felt like Chavez specifically wouldn't be able to go through September. And I think there's a good chance before the end of August, actually, he's out for either Malone or Pomeranz.
All right. Standouts from Tuesday. I want to start with Tsuyoshi Wada, who made his 2014 debut for the Cubs and gave up one unearned run on five hits in five innings with a strikeout or with a walk and three strikeouts at the Reds. And Jeremy Hellickson, who pitched decently against Kansas City. Wada's 5% owned. Hellickson is 21% owned. What do you think of these two guys?
actually, you know, maybe it's just, you know, fresh blood, but I'm actually more interested in Wada than Hellickson. We've seen what Hellickson could do, and I don't really expect him to be able to help me much in a 12 or maybe even a 14 team mixed league. Maybe Wada can't either, but good strikeout and swinging strike rates, a AAA. Pretty good control, and I think he could be something.
Are you guys ready to pick up Brad Ziegler? As Addison Reed gave up his ninth home run of the season and blew his fifth save and has a .442 ERA, and Ziegler has eight straight scoreless outings.
Yeah, I'll be honest, because I've really not trusted Reed pretty much the whole season. I've been touting Ziegler as a handcuff or potential replacement. I haven't picked him up in any leagues, and I like Ziegler.
But do you need saves in any leagues?
At this point, no.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, the one league, that the Tout Wars 15 team mixed league.
Yeah.
Where I've been almost all season just going with Uehara, and then a few weeks ago I was able to get Casilla. But, you know, I made plays for probably, you know, four other closers in waiting before that, and Ziegler was not one of them. So it has much more to do with just the managerial pattern of Kirk Gibson than about either of the two pitchers in question here, Reed or Ziegler. It's just, and even after the start, nothing in the game recap about any change in Reed's role.
Al, I have a question for you. So you're in this 15-team Roto League, and saves is obviously a category, right?
Obviously, yes.
How are you doing in that particular category? Do you know?
I am, I think, 13th, either 12th or 13th out of 15.
So would it make sense just to trade Uehara, lose 2 points, 3 points in that category, punt saves, and get help somewhere else?
I don't think so, because there's ground that can be made. And when I did pick up Casilla, I figure that gives me the potential maybe to pick up 3 or 4 points.
Okay, yeah,
if he keeps the job.
Hey, the question's more about punting saves in a in a 15 team in a deep league where somebody's probably going to be punting saves.
You know, look, if I didn't pick up Casilla, I think that would maybe be something to consider. You know, because I don't know how many other options are going to be, you know, out there at this point of the year that I'm really going to trust.
Right.
They're going to be available. And so at that point, yeah, maybe that would be the better way to try to make a move. But, you know, as long as there was somebody who could help me potentially pick up three or four spots, I think that's a better route.
Jake McGee got a save last night, did give up two runs, but the Tampa Bay bullpen went Boxberger for an inning and a third, scoreless, or excuse me, inning and two-thirds. Balfour for one scoreless inning with a walk and a hit. Peralta gave up two hits in two-thirds of an inning, and McGee came on, got out of an eighth-inning jam, gave up two runs in the ninth, but got his sixth save. 44% owned, Scott. Under-owned, Jake McGee?
Maybe, but honestly, this outing doesn't help his case. If Joe Maddon was inclined to mix and match anyway, and this was, I think this was the fifth save opportunity he gave him in the team's last eight. So it seemed like he was strongly leaning his direction, but still not committed to it. And this is going to be justification not to commit to it.
You know? I don't know. Well, because he came in with two on and two out in the eighth and got out of the jam, I think that helps. And then he came out and pitched the ninth, and yes, he struggled there. I don't know. Look, I'm all in on him, I think, as the guy to own in Tampa Bay, which you guys are too.
Yeah, he's the guy to own in Tampa Bay. And I'd own him probably over like Joe Smith, certainly Henry Mejia.
How about Ziegler?
Ziegler, sure.
All right. We talk about McGee every day, so all right. Let's move on. Hector Rondon blew a save. How about Neil Ramirez? Rondon's been struggling. 10 hits, 7 earned runs in his last 6 appearances, which included a 5-run outing.
Yeah, he's been awful. I'm surprised the Cubs haven't made that change yet. And maybe this will be what prompts it. Because you look at Rondon's numbers now, ERA and WHIP, they're just bad by closer standards. Before it was, well, Ramirez is really good, but Rondon himself is good. Now it's Rondon is bad. So get him out of there.
All right, so keep Ramirez on your radar. A lot of closer stuff going on right now. Injuries, news, and notes, part uno. Justin Masterson's on the DL with a knee injury. Oh, I didn't even think about Danny Salazar?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a chance there. I mean, it's also Zach McAllister, but
How about the Twins situation? Nolasco's on the DL with the elbow strain. We got May and Meyer, Salazar. Should we be do we know anything?
No. Well, what we know is one of the Twins beat writers, it was Lavelle Neal, tweeted yesterday that I think the date he gave was July 22nd, that if Nolasco's not ready by that point, because that's probably when they would need a fifth starter, I would assume, that we could see one of Mayer Meyer.
Mayer Meyer.
Who's your favorite stash of those three? Mayer, Meyer, May, Meyer. Salazar.
You're making me make a Faustian deal here. I suppose Salazar, but I'll rank up Salazar, May, Meyer, but very bunchy.
How about you?
Sounds good to me. I was going to say Salazar, too. I'd go for Ruby De La Rosa over any of them. He's still plenty available.
Yeah, and now I know what Faustian deal means, because I hadn't heard that term before. A deal with the devil.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah, too many years of high school German.
I don't know if I mentioned this when we talked about Mookie Betts, but Shane Victorino had a setback and was removed from his rehab assignment. And Betts is struggling, though, batting 174. Ryan Braun did not start due to his back injury. Carlos Beltran did not start due to his knee injury. Josh Beckett on the DL with a hip injury, but he might only miss one start. Victor Martinez did not start due to his back injury. Jake Peavy could be on the move to St. Louis.
Hence the interest in Ruby De La Rosa.
There you go. Cliff Lee hoping to be back July 19th. Yu Darvish was hit in the head by a ball during batting practice, but is expected to start tonight. Francisco Liriano will be back this weekend against Cincinnati. So Compton comes alive tonight, but probably not for long.
Then they'll show him the way back to AAA.
Yeah, nice. Jared Weaver likely to avoid the DL, but may not make another start before the All-Star break. Carl Crawford could return Thursday. I want to hopefully ask Heyman about what happens in the Dodgers outfield. And Josh Harrison sat for once.
Exclamation mark. You're very excited.
Not excited, just...
You're excited.
No, I mean, that implies that I don't like Josh Harrison. How about that? And Alan Craig sat yesterday with John Jay batting second and Oscar Taveras collecting two singles and scoring a run. All right, so Charlie Blackman's not droppable. Is Alan Craig droppable?
I'd be much more likely to drop Alan Craig at this point, yes. He's the clear loser, I think, in the Taveras situation, assuming Taveras stays up, which is no guarantee.
I would be slightly more likely to drop Blackman, but you've been getting the daily questions about, can I drop Craig? Can I get drop Craig? And I'm almost there.
All right, let's talk about some horrible hurlers, and then we'll do some hot hitters.
Can I just clarify, though, because I think I maybe went a little too strong with that. I still rank Craig ahead of Taveras himself, but I think I lowered Craig from Blackman range top 25 outfielder to like maybe just outside the top 40. So he's definitely lower.
All right, horrible hurlers, hot hitters, and then I couldn't think of anything that started with a C to talk about hitters. I have horrible hurlers, hot hitters, and cold hitters. But I don't know, is there a substitute there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what's a bad adjective to go with batsman.
Oh, yeah, bad batsman.
Oh, yeah, missed the obvious there.
Bad batsman. All right, let's do horrible hurlers first. Masahiro Tanaka. First time all season, Tanaka has pitched two straight games on only 4 days rest. There seems to be some concern about that adjustment, and he's been just not very sharp the last two outings. 19 hits in 13 and two-thirds. Yesterday, he gave up 5 earned runs. In his previous start at Minnesota, yesterday was at Cleveland. In his previous start at Minnesota, he gave up 4 earned runs, only 1 walk, 8 strikeouts in those two outings. Any concerns at all about Tanaka?
You know, not really. And I was looking yesterday to try to find a way to kind of poke a hole in his record this season, and I just couldn't because I wasn't going to get all upset about the one start against Minnesota. So I can't really honestly say that this start, which clearly is an unimpressive one, is going to change my mind.
Scott, if you disagree, please chime in. If you agree, we'll move on.
We can move on.
Hyunjin Ryu allowed a combined 7 earned runs in his previous 4 starts before giving up 7 earned runs and 2 and a third on 10 hits at Detroit. I love the strikeout rate. 2 Ks and 2 and a third. I mean, that's great.
Way to see the silver lining.
But this is a bad start.
Well, then you got
to
be concerned about the control, too.
Yeah, 2 walks. That's no good. There were a lot of singles. A lot. All I saw was from this. I mean, I watched Verlander, but I didn't really watch Ryu much. But I saw the highlight package on MLB Network, and it was just like single, 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 single. Mm-hmm. Anyway, any worries about Ryu?
I think it's just one of those games. Like, he'd been so good, and like you said, a lot of singles. I'm not worried.
Do you feel the same way about Julio Teheran, who gave up 11 hits and 5 runs in 3 1/3 at the Mets?
Not worried about him, but this actually made me feel better about starting Miles Michaelis this week. Because like, I could have started Julio Teheran, and it wasn't as many runs, but it was, you know.
You're not saying that you started Miles Michaelis over Julio Teheran.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm glad you
similarly
helped me to clarify that.
Okay.
But no, I'm just saying that it can happen even to Julio Teheran.
How about Madison Bumgarner's last 3 starts? 0-3, 7.50 ERA, 18 innings, 25 hits, 7 walks, 12 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's been a bum recently. But you'll remember he had a 3-start stretch pretty much near the very beginning of the season. May have been his first 3 starts even, where he was giving up double-digit hits, just generally not looking good, and he quickly righted things and looked like the ace we all know him to be. So I'm not exactly worried about him either.
Yeah, he has been a bum lately, and that always seems to garner the most attention. We never go the full pun with Bumgarner. We did today. All right, and Justin Verlander. So he did give up 5 runs in the first inning, and it was 6 innings, 5 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. And again, 3 swinging strikes yesterday, 1 swinging strike in his previous start, which wasn't good. Which, you know, actually it was 6 innings, 9 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. It wasn't terrible. But your thoughts on Verlander?
Yeah, that's an eye-opener, because I did not look at the velocity trend before you mentioned it. And he was pretty consistently, you know, in the 94, 95 range long before that with the, you know, occasional start around 93. But last three starts, according to Brooks Baseball, fastball, average fastball velocity, 93.5, 92.4, 92.2.
Right. What would cause that to happen? Like, because he was down that low at the very beginning, right? And then he got back up,
see,
and then he's back down,
that
and that's just, like, such a dramatic swing. It doesn't seem so dramatic because it's still hard in the general pitcher sense.
This is the last two starts in particular are the softest he's thrown all season.
And, I mean, I was seeing some, like, 89, 90-mile-per-hour pitches, and it's just weird. You just never see that unless it's his changeup from Justin Verlander. Really looked like a different guy yesterday. And he's looked like a different guy. He looked like a worse version of that different guy that we've seen the last couple of years, if that makes sense. So, whereas I did make a trade for him earlier in the year, I wouldn't do it now. Not that I'm going to try to trade him again. He still gives you innings and gives his team a chance to win, and they do win.
Yeah,
when he pitches.
And the fact that he recovered, I mean, he seems to be, you know, to use a horrible cliche, crafty, you know, in that even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he is capable of performing well.
Can you look up his peak velocity in that game?
Yeah.
Adam, did you?
I didn't see it. I think I probably saw like a 94-ish, but I don't remember.
When were you watching? I assume you didn't watch the full.
I watched. Okay, I saw it was 3-0, and then I turned it on, and he gave up the two-run homer to Uribe. And then I saw probably most of like innings two, three, and four, I would guess.
Yeah, okay, good. Interesting question, Scott, because, two starts ago, he maxed at 97.7.
Mm-hmm.
So he could dial it up. He only got up to 95.
95. But that's still like, that's still pretty good. I just wonder if he's been averaging that a lot of the season. Yeah. I just wonder if like he was especially low in the first inning and then.
No, not from what I witnessed. And here's the thing about Verlander. He's as far as I remember, always been a guy who threw harder as the game went on. So now it's like maybe he's going to throw 90 in the first inning and have respectable velocity after that. And his ERA in the first inning is 5.68 this year, but it's also really bad in the fifth and sixth innings. And the seventh and the eighth for what that's worth.
So it's just bad.
Except for 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
And those were good innings yesterday.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving him in your rankings at all?
Not yet. I gave him a slight rebound up. I dropped him down, I think, into the mid or lower 30s. I think I've got him around 30 right now.
Mm-hmm. 28th in points. Points.
So I'll keep him there for the time being. I'm glad Scott asked that question about max velocity. That gives me a little bit more hope.
Yeah.
But, let's see the next start or two.
All right, hot hitters. Curtis Grandert, I guess I should just – I wanted to go through these kind of one by one, but we won't be grading any trades if we do that. So Curtis Granderson – has been awesome since May 2nd. 275, 12 homers, 34 RBI, 40 walks, 54 strikeouts, and homered in back-to-back games now three times in his last seven. B.J. Upton, 3-for-5 with a run scored and his 15th steal at the Mets, and he has a hit in 12 of 13 games. Mostly one-hit games for B.J. Upton, but three steals in his last seven. Torrey Hunter is now up to 274 after a 3-for-4 game. He has 13 hits and two home runs in his last six games. Torrey Hunter is 71% owned. Jay Bruce, three straight days with a two-run homer, and that's three out of four games because he had a doubleheader yesterday, but he also had a double and two RBI in the second game of the doubleheader. And that is why you don't sit Jay Bruce, right?
Right.
You don't want to miss this.
I'm on board with that now.
Jed Lowry has four straight two-hit games. Colton Wong, a home run in two straight games. Or no, home run two home runs in three games. It's coming off the DL. Let's stop there. We'll take a breath. So we got Granderson, B.J. Upton, Torrey Hunter, Jay Bruce, Jed Lowry, Colton Wong.
Yeah.
Anyone moving the needle for you?
Well, I am very encouraged to see this from Jed Lowry. I expected it. I was worried about his matchups this week. I actually had him as a sit. So two-hit games to start the week. That's not looking good for that prediction, but I'm happy overall because I do think he has the potential to be a must-start shortstop in fantasy if he hits like he's capable. And he's been a victim of bad luck a lot of this year. I also wanted to mention B.J. Upton because I feel like so many message board types that give managers, MLB managers, so much grief for the lineups they put together. And it's one thing if you're playing a sim game, you can put together the perfect lineup, order the on-base percentages exactly the way you want them. But in the real game, there's a human element the managers have to consider. And certain players are just more comfortable in certain spots of the lineup. We saw Tommy La Stella bat second, which would be perfect for him with his on-base ability, and he was terrible. B.J. Upton, low OBP guy, okay, you don't want him batting leadoff, but if that's the best version of B.J. Upton you're going to get, isn't it worth it?
Yeah. So, but do you think this is just one of those?
Yes, but
I just wanted to go on a rant. That's fine.
Defending all MLB managers out there,
okay,
because they're better at their job than you would be.
Yeah, most of the time, that is true. Most of the time,
that is true. Most of them.
But, you know, it wasn't until he took the advice of this podcast and moved Andrelton Simmons to second that things really started clicking for the Braves. All right, how about Granderson? I mean, I feel like he deserves a little more love. Scott White, you got him outside your top 40. Al, you have him just inside your top 30 in outfield ranks.
Yeah, I've moved him up a little bit yesterday, but I've had him 30-ish for a while.
All right, what do you think, Scotty?
I mean, I just took a long look at the rankings yesterday. I don't know, like, who's ahead of him. Can you rattle off a few names?
Sure. Okay, Oscar Tavares, Adam Eaton. And this is in points leagues, but I'm assuming it's going to be a lot of the same names in Roto. Adam Eaton, Alan Craig, Dexter Fowler, Brett Gardner, Nick Markakis, Coco Crisp, Will Myers, Angel Pagan.
Okay. I think the only ones, and maybe I should, that I would move him ahead of are Tavares and Eaton once you get in, or maybe Craig too, maybe those three. But then after that, Fowler, I know he's on the DL now, but he's been great in head-to-head. Gardner, Markakis, same thing. Yeah, I can't justify taking Granderson over them in that format with the power he provides. He is probably more valuable in Roto.
Right, and you do have him ahead of Gardner, Markakis, and Tavares in Roto. Behind Crisp, Pagan, Myers. See, Myers I would question because, well, I don't know if we knew about this when you made the rankings, but what I saw yesterday was Myers isn't coming back until mid-August. So,
okay. Yeah, that's something to consider, too. Maybe I should move more about moving Myers down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything.
All right. More hot hitters. Ben Revere went 2-for-5 with a double and 2 RBI, and he's batting over 400 in his last 13 games with 6 steals. Lorenzo Cain went 4-for-4 with a triple and a steal. Last 5 games, Cain's batting nearly 500 with 4 steals. Nick Swisher, home runs in 2 straight games. Chris Carter, 2 home runs yesterday and 4 in his last 4 games. And Chris Coughlin. Hits in 11 of his last 12, batting .481 in July, and homered in each game of the doubleheader yesterday. Anything here? Revere, Kane, Swisher, Carter, Coughlin.
I have moved Kane and Coughlin up. Actually, moved Carter down a bit. And Carter will do this.
He's batting under 200.
But yeah,
and
I don't really expect that to improve very much, if at all. So he'll give you some power for sure, but not enough to. I'd rather have John Singleton as, you know, somebody who's, you know, power heavy and maybe batting average light than Chris Carter.
You have Lorenzo Cain ahead of Torrey Hunter.
Yeah, I do.
That's interesting.
Well, more steals, higher batting average, I think.
Is that in points leagues you have Hunter, but in Roto you have Cain ahead. Higher batting average? Hunter's hit 300, 2 years in a row?
Yeah, and didn't buy it either time. Which is, you know, frustrating because when a guy does it twice, it does make you wonder what you've got wrong, but it just didn't add up.
Wasn't he batting second last year?
I think he was
in
mostly.
In front of Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. And second, I think, for the Angels mostly the year before.
Not in front of Miguel Cabrera.
No.
I don't know who was in front of him.
I don't remember. I think it was behind Trout and ahead of Pujols or something.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Forgot Pujols, this is his third year with the Angels now. Yeah. So, okay, cold hitters. How about Troy Tulowitzki? He's going all Robinson Cano on us. Last 28 days, .346 batting average, but, like, no power. One home run, I think 3 doubles. How about .432 on base and .419 slugging with that .346 batting average? So that makes him the number 10 shortstop in points, number 12 in Roto over the last 28 days, Tulowitzki. Chris Davis is a little cold, .216 with a K, by the way. 216 over his last 14 games with one home run. And Matt Kemp singled three times yesterday, but despite seven hits in his last two games, no extra base hits in six games, one home run since June 17th. Tulo, Chris Davis, Matt Kemp.
Yeah, very frustrating for Kemp, for me, the Kemp supporter in the group. And I had a little dilemma yesterday whether or not to drop him in the rankings, and I still hold out hope that there'll be more power. Not really. He's been stuck on five steals for such a long time, I think.
Yeah, nine attempts.
Yeah. So that's, especially with that ratio, that's probably not going to go up. But, I'm not sure where the power is for Kemp. And if he does this much longer, I will certainly drop him in the rankings.
Okay, no worries about Tulo or Chris Davis, anyone?
Nah. I kind of expect Davis to be streaky.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, he was due for one of these.
I forgot how bad it was in April. One walk, 31 strikeouts. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
It was bad, Adam.
Let's grade some trades. Part one, Jeremy in Dallas. I give Billy Hamilton, I get Yasiel Puig.
A-.
I was going to go for the roto grade here because I still think Hamilton has more value there. And
roto. Let's do roto. It's a no-brainer in points leagues. How about in roto?
Well, I'll still give it a B in roto.
Oh, you don't think it's a no-brainer?
No, Hamilton's pretty darn good in head-to-head, too. Top.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
Top, I don't know what he's been exactly, but must start in head-to-head.
Yeah. He's been a better hitter than I expected, and I'm not, I wasn't one of the folks that was, convinced that he was going to wind up back in AAA because he couldn't, hit 200. But, I'm very surprised he's hitting as well as he is.
So your roto grade was what, Al?
B.
Giving up Hamilton, getting Puig, and what would it be for you?
I'll say B+. We both want Puig more, though.
Yeah. Hamilton, do you think he maybe August and September slows down?
I really don't.
I mean, yeah, I do, but not to the degree that it's going to affect the way you treat him.
Not to the Segura degree.
Oh, not even close.
Or the Kipnis from 2 years ago.
Charlie Blackman?
Chris Conlon, 12-team Roto Keeper League. Give up Springer, get Julio Teheran and $5 of cap space. Give up Springer, get Teheran and $5 extra.
Sure.
That's a win.
Yeah. The winning twice over, I think.
Yeah.
I got to grade it.
B+.
A-.
Okay.
I'm the happy grader.
I almost went there.
No, it's just a thing, though. If you have Springer in your top 30 outfield in Roto right now, what's to say he's not like a top 15 outfielder next year? And doesn't that make him more valuable?
Yeah, but Teheran's a top 12 pitcher now.
But wouldn't you rather have a top 15 outfielder than a top 12 pitcher? In a Roto league?
Debatable.
Nah, I definitely would. I definitely would. And it's a possibility.
Oh, man, I thought I had a sneeze there. Remember that happened last week on the Mailbag Show?
It did.
This one I'm holding in, though.
Good
job.
Don't
worry. All right, from Jay. Hey, Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. What is that from again?
Newhart.
Oh, right.
The second Newhart series.
Oh, of course. I thought it was the first Newhart series. That's why I didn't know. 6x6 Roto extra category in batting is hits. I give up Madison Bumgarner. I get Willie Peralta and Nick Markakis.
He's getting one of Scott's most overrated players.
Willie Peralta.
Peralta.
And he showed it yesterday.
he did.
Yeah, that's a...
Oh, and this is Roto. Yes.
That's an A+.
No, no.
You flip
giving
it.
Bumgarner.
F!
Exactly.
Yeah, I will fail it.
Jesse from the land of isotopes.
Is that Albuquerque?
I'm thinking, or Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
Greetings, Alex, Jock, Eris Bell, and
Oh,
Red.
Then it is Albuquerque.
Oh, are they all from Albuquerque?
Are they
all in there?
Reds. They're Dodgers prospects. Right?
Farmhands. Hands on the farm.
Alex Guerrero, Jock Peterson, Eris Bell, what's his last name? Arbuena?
Arbuena. Oh, I want to take you to. I know, you got to finish that. You're the Kokomo. The lyricist here.
Domingo Santana. And who's Red?
I think I missed that.
You missed my tweet?
Yeah.
My Domingo Santana tweet to the tune of Kokomo?
Oh.
I'm not going to sing it. I can't do it.
And I'm sorry, I'm blanking on Red, but I got the other three, so.
All right, whatever. This weekend in my 14-team head-to-head categories league, I traded away Kyle Seager and Jason Hammel. I got Bryce Harper, Kyle Loesch, and Dallas Keuchel. Gave up Seager and Hammel for Harper, Loesch, and Keuchel. 14-team categories.
It's a B.
It's a B plus. Ha ha.
T. Arnold says Nelson Cruz for Bumgarner in a 16-team roto league. I'm in second. I need some pitching.
It's fair.
C plus.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good job, Tom. Gord Henderson. I give Cano and Tomlin. I get Rendon and Kimbrel. Tomlin is a spark for him, so he's getting a second baseman and a reliever for a second baseman and a reliever. Cano and Tomlin for Rendon and Kimbrel.
This is where the rubber meets the road with Cano as the number one ranked first baseman,
well,
second baseman.
And how much
you
value Kimbrel, too.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
You know, I will give it a I'll give it a C plus.
And I will also give it a C plus. Yeah, I don't think there's as much. I think Rendon's my eighth or ninth second baseman, and Cano's one, but it's a pretty thin thin margin between those eight or nine second basemen.
And Parker says, "Dear Oliver, Roy, and Diggle, playing in a 12-team 6x6 where I traded Corey Dickerson and Max Scherzer to get Carlos Gonzalez. I'm very deep at pitching, so losing Scherzer isn't that big of a hit."
I don't know, man.
That's contextual extra credit there.
I don't know, man. That's a D, I think.
Giving up Dickerson and Scherzer for Cargo.
I mean, because you got a sure stud in Scherzer. I feel like you have to get a sure stud in return. Cargo, it's a lot of question marks there. And you gave up a second player with Scherzer, which was completely unnecessary.
So?
I'll agree with Scott
D
on
plus?
That.
D plus?
No, D.
I'm going C minus.
Sorry.
I said it already.
You did?
Yeah.
Did he say D?
I missed it.
You did not say D. You just said, I don't know, man.
I'll give Scott the benefit of the doubt here. I miss things sometimes.
I think we need to...
I'm going to check the tape.
We need to check the tape.
42-minute mark. From Jonathan.
We need your rewind sound effect.
12-team head-to-head categories league. Okay, just from Jonathan. 12-team head-to-head categories league. I give up Alex Rios. I get Aramis Ramirez. Just lost Edwin Encarnacion.
Mm. I'll still give it a D plus. I think I'd rather keep Rios and maybe go a waiver option there.
Yeah, yeah. D. D. Did you hear that time, Adam? D.
I did.
All right.
Speaking of D, didn't see that coming.
You mean like D Grom?
Yeah, like D Grom. All right. So here's the category is called "Didn't See That Coming." Jacob DeGrom. 7 scoreless innings, 7 hits, no walks, 11 strikeouts against Atlanta, and 3 of his last 4 have been pretty good. And I think he has good stuff. Brad Hand, 6 1/3, 8 hits, 1 run, none earned, 2 walks, 2 Ks at Arizona. And Vidal Nuno, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts against Miami. What do you think about DeGrom, Hand, and Nuno?
Let's just talk about DeGrom because I'm not buying it from Hand or Nuno.
All right.
At all. But DeGrom, wow, that's an eye-opener. Because, like you said, 3 of the last 4, really good. And I didn't realize how good, because I just pulled up the infamous Baseball Reference game log here.
Uh-huh.
And over those 4 starts, 13% swinging strike rate, 1.13 ground ball to fly ball ratio. And the one that is maybe most impressive to me, 66% strikes thrown. Because that's where I worry about DeGrom is with the control, and obviously it's been excellent over the stretch.
Yeah.
Well, the walk rate has still been kind of high, 8 25 2/3 innings.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. I guess on the hitters when he's walking batters, he's saving all his balls for that. But
yeah. Maybe he's getting a lot of chases, you know, because of the high swinging strike rate. That's what that suggests to me.
I came away with a very different impression from the game log. I see a lot of high strikeout performances mixed with low strikeout performances, a lot of high walk performances mixed with low walk performances, innings all over the place, just inconsistency.
Well, if you want to just look at the last 4, though, 3 of them have been good. So you could argue he's Jacob DeGrom is coming into his own. You could also argue he's faced Atlanta twice and Miami once in those four starts.
Yeah.
And one of the Atlanta starts was his bad one. The other good start was at Pittsburgh. All right, would you rather have Brandon Workman or Jacob DeGrom?
I'd rather have Workman.
Would you?
I that's a game changer for me. Even with the matchups, as you pointed out, I think I'd rather have DeGrom now.
Would you drop Willie Peralta to take a shot on DeGrom?
No.
Let's just say you didn't have to start Peralta every week.
No,
I would not.
Danny Duffy or DeGrom?
Duffy.
I'll go DeGrom.
Yeah, all right. Looks like got to circle him, Al. Got to move DeGrom up.
I did. There's the circle.
Three-man rotation. Phil Hughes was really good last night. Hopefully back on track after allowing 17 earned runs over his previous three. He threw 7 1/3 shutout innings, no walks, 8 strikeouts at Seattle. Willie Peralta got lit up. Last 10 starts, 5-4, 5.64 ERA, a lot of hits. And R.A. Dickey had a very good start and hasn't given up a home run in either of his last two outings after giving up 13 in his previous 8. All right, let's focus on Peralta here. Would you drop Willie Peralta for Tim Lincecum if you could do that?
No.
I wouldn't either.
Would you drop him for Jesse Hahn?
Yes.
I would too.
Yes.
How about Buchholz or Peralta?
Yeah, Peralta for me.
And I'm down on Peralta, but one thing I noticed when I was going through my rankings, I don't know exactly what happened. I guess it's pitchers like Peralta and Nathan Eovaldi kind of running out of steam. Starting pitcher looks a lot thinner than it did just a week or two ago. Like, you get beyond the top 50, beyond like the Tim Hudson, Kyle Loesch group, and it's hard to get excited about anybody. I ended up moving pitchers who had been stuck in my 80 to 90 range just because they lack sizzle. I ended up moving them up a good 10 or 20 spots just because they're looking more reliable than some of those other options. Guys like Porcello and Mike Leake and Mark Burley, who I don't think, I mean, I'm not really excited to own them in fantasy, but they're starting to look better than the alternatives this deep into the season.
And tell me if you're excited about any of these guys. Trevor Bauer, he really looked excellent last night against the Yankees. Chris Young, another good one. And he's got a 2.66 ERA in 8 starts now. Tyler Skaggs is probably the least predictable pitcher in the world. Carlos Martinez, not a great start, not a terrible one, but lefties are hitting 307 against Carlos Martinez. Righties are hitting 205. Vance Worley did not have a good start at St. Louis. Travis Wood's been bad pretty much all year. And John Danks had a bad start at Boston. Bauer, Young, Skaggs, Martinez, Worley, Wood, Danks, none of them are owned in more than 61% of leagues. And that would be Chris Young.
Yeah, Bauer and Young were the most exciting to me. And probably Bauer more so than Young, because I had some confidence in Young this week. I'm really, you know, now very confident when he starts at home. And this was another home start for Young. But Bauer, you know, just hadn't been good in quite a while, but had been stashing him. And, you know, this is very encouraging for him, particularly because he got a lot of ground ball outs, which is really that's been scarce for him lately.
And the strikeouts have been pretty down for Bauer. Since June, 31 strikeouts and 43 2/3, but he hasn't given up more than 4 earned runs in any game this year, which is more than you can say for Julio Teheran and Masahiro Tanaka now.
that's surprising.
There's been some damage control.
It's always like around 6 innings and around 3 runs.
Yeah. So, and I'll add that this is the first time in 6 starts he allowed fewer hits than he had innings pitched.
Wow.
Which... anytime you're talking about hit rate, luck could have some factor in there. I think that combined with a not-so-great walk rate, great for him, but not-so-great for the average pitcher, had me concerned. But it's nice to see them down.
Okay, so let's do some more injuries, news, and notes, and then we'll do some more grade the trade to finish off the podcast. Baltimore and Washington were rained out. Bud Norris starts today for Baltimore. Doug Fister starts today for Washington. And Tanner Roark probably push back to Sunday. Jason Castro has a weird armpit injury, but he's getting better. Baltimore will limit starting pitcher Dylan Bundy to 75 pitches per start this year, but Bundy could still join the rotation at some point, which just means there's no way I'd pick him up if I knew he was only going to throw 75 pitches.
Fair enough.
In a start.
Yeah.
Shane Green is going to start Saturday at Baltimore for the Yankees. That probably means Chase Whitley stays in the bullpen.
Yes, in fact, that's exactly what
that's
it means.
What means. Yep. Hanley Ramirez DH yesterday at Detroit. Dylan G starting tonight against Atlanta. Carlos Gomez returned to the leadoff spot, went 3-for-5 with a double and a steal. Brandon Compton likely to start tonight against Pittsburgh. And Darren Mastroianni and Colby Rasmus platoon.
Inter-squad?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Who are they playing again? They're playing Cincinnati. No, they're not. They're playing the Cubs. They're playing St. Louis. And they've lost on 2 straight walk-offs. So how about that? Darren Mastroianni, Colby Rasmus will platoon for Toronto with Mastroianni facing lefties. And David Peralta sat against the lefty, Brad Hand, the vicious lefty Brad Hand. Peralta batting .241 against lefties with, like, no power at all. And .359 against righties.
But I did pick Aaron Hill in the daily matchups, and this was not a slump buster for Aaron Hill.
He got a hit. He singled.
Okay, yeah. I guess maybe, relatively speaking.
Nobody did anything for the Diamondbacks yesterday, my man. Grade the trade, part deux, from Josh from New York. Dear Plug 1, 2, and 3. What is that?
Three-prong outlet? I don't know.
Oh. Grade the trade, 10-team weekly head-to-head league. I give Madison Bumgarner and Brandon Moss. I get Sonny Gray and Justin Verlander.
D+.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? Yeah, I'll agree.
From Steven. Hi, Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont.
Oh, I got that one.
What's Pimlico? I mean, I know those are obviously racetracks.
Preakness.
Is that where the Preakness is?
Yeah, Baltimore.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. 11-team mixed 5x5 roto league, no keepers. I need pitching depth. I'm deep at offense. I get Jake Peavy, David Fries, and Ryan Vogelsong. I give Colton Wong, Chase Headley, and John Singleton. So you're giving up Wong, Headley, and Singleton for Peavy, Fries, and Vogelsong.
That is a D-.
There'd have to be a real pitching shortage in that league for me to like that. Like,
it's 11 team, too.
Barren waiver wire. I know. 11 teams, it doesn't seem like that would be the case. So I don't like it either.
Who's the best player in this deal?
I think Singleton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Potentially. I'll make a case for Vogelsong, who I like. But
he might be second best.
Yeah. That's a pretty weak trade. I don't know that we've ever seen 6 players in a trade
and
this
all
bad.
Of them that
in an 11-team league.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe in a 15- or 16-team league.
All right, here's one from Adam. 14-team stats league with OPS instead of average. I give CJ Krohn. I get Mookie Betts and Mike Napoli.
I will give that a B because I like Napoli more than Krohn.
Me too. That's my grade too.
Okay, Jason says, Ventura for Will and Rosario, 12-team head-to-head category league.
Because it's categories, I'll go ahead and give that a B-.
I'll still give it a C-.
I just had a trade, like 5 minutes ago, had one of my trades rejected, podcast league. This morning, I offered Yordano Ventura for Hyunjin Ryu, and it was rejected.
They gave it a
C-.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
I love Ryu.
Well, I know that.
And I think I don't trust Yordano Ventura to be a steady contributor in the last month of the season.
I see the logic there.
Yeah.
I would
slow and steady.
I would take Ventura. Both you and the guy who turned down the deal. You should have taken it.
Nah. Well, maybe he's listening and we can do it again. Jake M, 10-team roto league with 6 keepers for 6 years each, an OBP instead of average. Second and fourth round picks for Puig.
Second and fourth round picks for Puig. Sure, if you're competing this year.
Yeah, well, it's 6 keepers. Yeah, that's I'll give that a B+.
Julio Ramos, I traded Molina for Qualls and Eric Hosmer in a keeper league. I have Derek Norris on the bench and I need saves. So gave up Molina for Qualls and Eric Hosmer in a keeper league. I do not like that.
I dislike it strongly. D minus.
It's not great value.
Qualls doesn't have a save in forever, and I don't know how many he's going to get. Tudor Wake says, trading Porcello and Jed Lowry, getting Steven Strasburg.
A.
Yeah, that's. I'll give it an A+.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that does deserve
an A+.
Like
that.
And by the way, Chad Qualls has not recorded a save since June 20th, if you want the specifics.
He's got like eight since, I want to say, May 11th or something like that.
And finally, Matt P509 says, Jose Bautista and Alex Rios for Felix Hernandez and Matt Latos. Hmm. This is a fun one. Bautista and Rios for Felix and Latos.
I'm going to have to go to the contextual extra credit here because that's like on the face of it, that's just an even C.
Okay, I have Andrew McCutchen, Hunter Pence, Marlon Byrd, and George Springer. Dickerson, Chris Davis with a K, and J.D. Martinez are also on waivers. So
jeez.
That helps a lot of outfielders.
Is anybody
out
playing
there
in this league?
Bautista and Rios for Felix and Latos.
All right, yeah, it's a B minus.
Yeah, the contextual extra credit tips the scales.
Oh, look at Tobin adding Arizmendi Alcantara in one of
what
our leagues.
A poser.
all right, guys. Thank you for the show. Great job. I love you. And I'll see you tomorrow. Except for you, Scott. I do love you, but I won't see you tomorrow on the show. That'll be Kirk Love Day. See you later.